Well, let's say we are beginning with Esoteric Astrology 84, number F, section F, page 264. The progression in time of the activation of the rulers of any sign. Always the orthodox ruler will be active first, esoteric second, and finally the hierarchical ruler. And it's as if we have to really get out of our materialistic propensities before the beneficent rulership of Jupiter will lead us into the ways of peace, it being the ruler of Pisces, the ruler of Aquarius esoterically, and progress. Always looking forward and widening horizons. It's a visionary planet, Jupiter, and seeing the way ahead. The true progressive, a real progressive, comes under Jupiter, and of course the Saturnian conservatives don't like that. But you know, this balance between Jupiter and Saturn is so important. And I guess we need that balance, lest we run away with ourselves in Jupiter, or become too stuck in the mud in under Saturn and the traditional older ways. So, we have so much to do in the right use of these various energies, and we have to be able to look at the actions of the world and say, oh yeah, that action is under thus and such a planet, and here is the level at which it is operating. Look what's going on in the media under Mercury, high and low, and mostly extremely critical third-ray use of Mercury. Just criticism everywhere, as in third-ray China, where a political leader could become subject to criticism, a great political disaster. You know, we look at Mars. Is it aggression? Is it defense? There's so many conflicts operating due to idealism. We also have what I would call lying Mercury. It's the god of thieves. It's related to let Maya flourish and deception rule. It's related to Scorpio in a lower sense. We have many lower uses of these planets. We have financial cheating, manipulation. It's all Mercury in a way. All for Jupiterian greed. You know, accumulating more than you can use. We have Vulcan wanting to put down others for the sake of one's own ego. We have so much misuse of the planetary powers. We have to see, first identify what planets involved and see how we can raise the game, raise the level of the planetary expression. So when the human hierarchy drops its materialism, which is a limitation of perception, and is fully awakened to spiritual possibilities, that's where education and the second ray and Jupiter come in, and also a higher expression of Mercury, then the work of Jupiter in Virgo will immediately intensify, and the beneficent ruler will lead the humanity into ways of peace and progress. And also, let's just say that what we call the Christ principle will be very fully born, and the second ray soulness of humanity can emerge rather than its present struggling fourth ray soul. Kind of interesting, because humanity is going to express on the Buddhic plane. Okay, well, that's the fourth plane, so it fits with its fourth ray soul, but it's going to express monadically there. And on the Buddhic plane, we have the sixth principle, which expresses love, wisdom, which is related to the second ray. So the Buddhi of humanity is also related to the second ray. So it will be a great day when the rays of humanity can be two and four. It'll be the harmony aspect then of the fourth ray and the wisdom and love aspect of the second. Now, does a first ray destroyer lie behind all that? Well, it is the Scorpio hierarchy, the human creative hierarchy. And just compare what he says about human beings when he talks about their relationship to the devas. Anyway, Virgo is definitely related. We're getting on here in section F of Esoteric Astrology, Adventure 84. Virgo is definitely related through the medium of the various planetary rulers to eight other signs of the zodiac. What are signs of relations we're involved in here? We can trace so many connections either through planets or through rays. And the rays of planets, the rays of constellations, and all of these connections are part of the cooperative enterprises of these various lords of the heavenly bodies and the aggregations of heavenly bodies. So much is going on behind the scenes, and we just are out here in the world of effects, and we see things working out, but we don't necessarily know the causes whatsoever. Anyway, to eight other signs of the zodiac, and it is therefore with these eight signs that we are concerned, because they produce an interrelated synthesis of nine signs, including Virgo. Now, this is not exactly, I think, the nine, which is going in progressive order up to Capricorn, the sign of birth. See, we'd be moving clockwise in the earlier list. So Virgo, Leo, Cancer, Gemini, Taurus, Aries, Pisces, Aquarius, and finally Capricorn, bringing us nine signs. But now we're going to look at a different way of relating Virgo to other signs via the planetary rulers and see how he describes the quality of this interrelated synthesis. In this interrelated numerical synthesis, it's always legitimate, that is, to follow paths of numerical resonance or identity and get a relationship out of it. In occultism, this is legitimate. Some people think we're just playing with numbers. But behind the scenes, there are these real relationships. They are causative. We want to know what they are. So in this interrelated numerical synthesis and fruitful, I wonder if DK ever uses words unconsciously or without deliberation. We're talking about the fruitfulness of the mother here. Fruitful interrelation. Sometimes I'm amazed at the appropriateness of the word he chooses, you know, using, I suppose, the excellent vocabulary of Alice Bailey and his own background in English, wherever it was, Elizabethan times perhaps. In this interrelated numerical synthesis and fruitful interrelation lies the entire history of human progress. So often he said that, check these signs out because humanity's history is here. We should have to collect the word history in order to find the particular relations that he has given us. We just were studying one in relation to numbers 1, 4, 8, and 11. And I think another one intervened as well. So he's looking at how humanity has progressed, the history of humanity, and he's looking at certain relations with signs and planets and saying, here is described the history of humanity. Now, he uses the word entire quite a bit too, so I wonder whether it wouldn't take all of these configurations which he gives us to describe the truly entire history. I would say an aspect of the history of human progress is often portrayed, but maybe in these nine it is the entire history. Lies hid, again hidden, you know, because it's Virgo, and so much in Virgo is dark until it emerges into expression. The entire history of human progress and the secret of the process of divine manifestation. Manifestation then would relate to the third and seventh ray. So Virgo is holding some secrets relating to the third and seventh ray. Some secrets related to the third and seventh rays. We are reminded, you know, rays 2 and 6 are not rays of manifestation. There may be desire for manifestation, but they are not manifestation per se. And Virgo is a sign in which you can say, let matter reign. It has much to do with the processes of making tangible. You know, it is, in a way, the seventh sign, depending on where we begin. If we begin with Pisces, it is numbering backwards, the seventh sign. Otherwise, interestingly, it's kind of an eighth sign numbering backwards. Is that correct? Yes. Beginning with Aries, numbering in a clockwise manner, the eight being the number of the Christ, so fittingly an eighth sign in which the germination of the Christ consciousness can begin to occur. There's a value here to remember certain points, which are what? One. Nine is the number of man. Well, okay, it is the number of man in relation to the fourth grade of hierarchy. The fourth grade of hierarchy is in reality the ninth, counting from the highest of those hierarchies which are given, starting with Pisces on the third subplane of the cosmic astral. If the five unmanifested hierarchies are included in our enumeration, the human hierarchy is only the fourth among the seven, which are active in manifestation. So the numbers four and nine are related. But nine is the number of man? Well, yes. And sometimes other numbers are given. I'm trying to remember them at the moment. Leo is the most human of all signs. Five suggests manus, man. Five is a number of man. Four is another number, the fourth human kingdom. And the fourth creative hierarchy of the manifested creative hierarchies. The numbers are usually then, if we look at the tabulation, 9, 4, and 4. But remember the five of manus, with humanity closely related to the number five in terms of the concrete mind. So if we look here, I'm just interested if we, how many times we get that. This may be a fruitless search. Number of man. We have three hits. Nine is the number of man. It is the number of Christ consciousness, just as seven is the number of man. Eighth of the number of hierarchy. Number of hierarchy, nine is the number of initiation or Shambhala. Well, humanity and initiation are closely related, and five is the number of man. Here in Feast on White Magic, page 199. So we get the same configuration, same word, form of words, but different numbers. So let us not forget seven and five, both listed as the, quote, number of man, but, you know, we have to check out the context, don't we? The number of man in such and such a context. And what about four? So the fourth, fourth or human kingdom, and the fourth human kingdom, and the fourth creative hierarchy. That too. Those numbers, I think, are very related to man, but let us see, you know, the context. Human beings are called the initiates, and nine is the number of initiation. See, that is their name here, isn't it? Human hierarchy, the initiates, lords of sacrifice. Interestingly, the fourth ray being the ray of the first law of the soul, the law of sacrifice, and we would expect Scorpio to be involved there, a kind of death unto a higher consciousness and a descent into a lower consciousness, but keeping the connection between the higher and the lower via the fourth ray. So we have two poles. We descend, in a way relinquishing our higher consciousness, but in a way holding on to it. The monad is connected to its projection down into the lower worlds. Nine, anyway, the number of man. He's dealing with a nine here, and the ways in which the rulers of Virgo will be related to nine signs, including itself. Nine is the number of initiation as far as humanity is concerned. Okay. In terms of the planetary logos, seven is the number of initiation. So seven is the number of initiation for the planetary logos. And nine for the solar logos. Check out page 384 of Cosmic Fire. Okay. So there are 9 initiations held before humanity, but who knows what the span of initiations may be for other beings. Initiations are divided into different groupings. There are, he says, 5 major planetary initiations which man can take, and if they're planetary, they begin with the very first, the initiation of the birth of the Christ, the first of the great monastic initiations, thus 5 of them. 3 systemic initiations, of which Christ has 2. Systemic? Well, systemic, solar systemic. Now, interestingly enough, the solar initiations usually begin at the third, but Christ certainly has more than third and fourth. So we have to say that these systemic initiations must begin at the fifth, because Christ does not yet have the full 7th. So he has the 5th and the 6th, but not yet the full 7th. Now, if he wants to say 5 major planetary initiations, it depends on how he uses the word planetary. He could be beginning with the 3rd and moving through the 7th. And beyond that, beyond that, the 8th and 9th are difficult to take on our planet or within our planetary scheme. So, you know, it depends on how these words are used. Usually the word planetary, we're told there are really only 2 planetary initiations. They are the first and the second. So he says 5 major planetary initiations. He's using the word planetary in a different context. And since he uses the word major, maybe it's correct that he begins with the 3rd and ends with the 7th. And here he says 3 systemic, but is systemic in this case, is systemic the same as solar? Because we said the solar initiations begin with the 3rd. Is the word then systemic the same as solar? Because the 3rd initiation is the first solar initiation, and then the next 5 can also be considered solar, in a sense. Maybe even initiation 8 and 9 can be considered solar, but Sirian initiations begin with the 5th. And 1 cosmic initiation which relates a man to Sirius. Well, that cosmic initiation, I suppose, is the 5th. That is the 5th, which is the 3rd solar. It's the 3rd solar initiation. So the problem is the way in which the word planetary, solar, and systemic are being used. But I think we can pretty well see what he's driving at here. A man usually takes 5 initiations. And if he goes beyond initiation 5, is it considered planetary at all? That's a question. And I think I will ask that here. I'll put this up for future reference. If a man goes beyond initiation 5, is that initiation, quote, planetary? But he says major planetary initiation. Now the problem again is that oftentimes the word major means beginning at the 3rd, but then when he considers the minor initiations which precede even the birth of the Christ, he starts with the monastic initiations and calls them major. So the same word is used differently in different contexts. I think we're on safe ground here if we... Well, you know, in a way, Yes, because look here. The seventh initiation is administered by the planetary logos, not by Sanat Kumara per se, as he is, or not by that unknown existence that administers the sixth, but by the planetary logos. So, therefore, oh, that's thought form. Therefore, the seventh initiation is, in a sense, planetary. So maybe that answers the question. Yes, could be, because the word major is there, and the seventh initiation is administered by the planetary logos, so it has to be considered planetary in that sense. Though the two initiations of the threshold are called planetary in relation to initiation 3 beginning the solar group of initiations, in relation to initiation 5 beginning the Sirian group of initiations, some of which are still solar. The three systemic initiations, of which the Christ has two, well, systemic initiations have to begin with the third. I don't see any other way, because the Christ does not have the full seventh. He has the fifth and sixth. And one cosmic initiation, and if we went beyond the fifth, we'd have to say that the sixth is cosmic, the seventh is cosmic. So the seventh is the ultimate planetary, is a solar systemic initiation, and is the first, is the third cosmic. The fifth is what? The first planetary, and in a way, the first systemic as he's describing it here, did I just say the third? Wait a second. The fifth initiation. Okay. That is the third planetary, the first systemic, solar systemic, the way we're looking at it here, and the first cosmic. But the cosmic initiations, I suppose, keep going. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Do they go beyond that? Well, we're not given to know yet. This whole question of categories of initiations is interesting, but mostly we have to learn how to control our astral and mental bodies and align them with the soul. So we have some very humble things to do, and a lot of this knowledge is simply speculative, nice to know, and possibly giving a certain order to the mind, which allows us to be clearer about the mode of pursuing our discipleship work. The relation of Virgo to eight signs has therefore a definite bearing on these matters. It's amazing how he uses numerology, right? And the nine united potencies play their part in developing the Christ life in the individual and in the mass of men. So this is important. Nine related potencies related through the rulers of Virgo are active in developing the Christ life. Well, that's our big theme, the development of the Christ life. That's why we are disciples in the first place. We're trying to develop this method of being, which is not strictly that of the personality or of the third aspect. We're seeking to become expressions of the second divine aspect. From this group of signs and their attendant constellations, now, you know, that worries me, because we're oftentimes talking about constellations and signs and their attendant planets. Now, does the word attendant imply an inferior or a superior position? Signs, in a way, are attendant upon constellations because they are lesser energy fields than the constellations themselves. And attendant is not a superior. But maybe he means here associated constellations. The constellation is always, in a way, attentively looking for methods of expressing its energy through the concentrated influence which a sign represents. So from this group of signs and their attendant constellations, three are omitted. Now, these are not the same three, the ones that were omitted from the other nine were Sagittarius, Scorpio, and Libra. because we began with Virgo and we worked our way clockwise through Capricorn, a sign of birth, 9. Now, through different associations, which I hope he gives us here, we have a different 9. Libra is again found, but Libra is omitted in the first and omitted in the second, but not Capricorn. Capricorn is included in the first listing, and Leo is also included in the first listing of the 9. So the omitted ones in the first list, having to do with the 8 and 9 months of birth, are Sagittarius, Scorpio, and Libra. Those are omitted. And now omitted from this list are Leo, Libra, and Capricorn, and only Libra is doubling in its omission. Excuse me. These three signs are all signs of crisis. Now remember, just a little while ago we were told that there is no crisis when it comes to these signs of interlude, which govern the equinoxes, namely Libra and Aries. But I think he means crisis in a different manner, because he described crisis as a specific building up of planetary energy until a certain point is reached where something just must be done. And maybe he means crisis in a different way here. These three signs are all signs of crisis and indicate the progressive influence of the other 9 and the situations which evolve out of their activity. Okay, so the other 9 signs, we have to see what he calls them, how he names them, because these three signs of crisis are related to the other 9, which necessarily have to be, beginning with Virgo, Virgo, Cancer, Gemini, Taurus, Aries, Pisces, Aquarius, Sagittarius, Scorpio. And we'll see how the mode of relationship goes. So let's, maybe right down here he is listing them. I wonder and hope he is. Maybe that will mean we don't have to do it ourselves. I think he's going to do this around page 273. Let's see. Or is it 473? Well, he hasn't listed them yet. Why don't we list them? Because we know which ones are omitted. And maybe we will have to figure out the relationships, or try to figure out these relationships, related to the rulers of Virgo. Okay, page up, 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 up. Okay, so what are the 9? What are the 9 which are related to Virgo, including itself? What are the 9 related to Virgo and including itself? Well, let's proceed in a clockwise manner. Leo, Cancer, Gemini. I don't want that. I'd like to get these a little closer. Maybe I can just do it this way. Leo, Cancer, Gemini. These are 9 signs. Taurus, Aries, Pisces, Aquarius. Now we have to skip Capricorn and go to Sagittarius, Scorpio. And we have to skip Libra and go to Virgo. These are 9. And let's look at them. Count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Whoops. 1, 2. No, we can't have Leo. What am I doing? Leo is not involved. Leo was omitted. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, we'll know this in just a moment. So, let us look at least at a few relationships. The relationship of Virgo to Cancer comes by. It's one way also by Neptune, which the moon veils. Gemini comes principally by Mercury. Taurus comes via Vulcan, which is said to be veiled by the moon. Aries comes via Mercury. Pisces comes via Jupiter, the esoteric ruler, hierarchical ruler. Aquarius comes via the moon. Sagittarius comes via Jupiter. Scorpio comes via Mercury. It's the hierarchical ruler of Mercury. Virgo. So those are nine planets. Now, can't really relate the Sun. That's very tenuous to me. To the idea, you know, that Leo is secondarily ruled by the Sun invading Neptune and the Virgo is ruled by the Moon invading Neptune. So there's a Neptune connection. It's not considered strong enough, I suppose. Libra has Venus, Uranus and Saturn. Those are not Virgo rulerships. Capricorn has Venus, Saturn, Venus, the same thing. Virgo is not there having those rulerships. So these are the nine. And the three signs that are exempted, Leo, Libra, and Capricorn, are signs of crisis. I suppose. Tell us what they are going on with individualization in one respect, with balance in another, with initiation in another, I suspect. I don't know what is wrong. These three signs are all signs of crisis and indicate the progressive influence of the other nine. Because if so, these three signs of crisis span again the entire development of humanity all the way from individualization to initiation. So, these situations, this crisis, evolve out of the activity of the nine now. What would be the role of these nine for the process of individualization? No. Certainly, we can figure that out before the process of balancing of Libra, and before the process of initiation. They are the testing points in the process of the play of energies. These three are the testing points. That's a good way of describing this kind of crisis. It's a way that's different from the manner in which he described crisis originally. So these are the testing points in the process of the play of energies from the other nine signs. Aspects. So how, I think I want to make those words big, testing points. Because in a way, one of the ways of thinking about crises, one of the ways of thinking about crises is as testing points. Also, we could say they are change points or breaking points. That seemed to be the way that we take this describing crisis earlier, exempting Aries and Libra. So, they are one. Okay, the Leo, the crisis of individualization, shows us what the two stages as. It's used and inchoate
expert side, but there's also a rather diffused and inchoate consciousness for quite a while, until there's a gradual personality integration and a person becomes more and more centered and less confused. The power can then be wielded deliberately, intelligently, effectively. So Leo spans a great gamut of development all the way from becoming something distinct, consciousness, and not realizing the point of 3 billion years later, realizing that we live, to the point of working your way through the personality vehicles until you gradually start to become a recognizable, distinct person with 3 types of capacities you can wield: mental, emotional, physical. That is where Ahamkara reaches its highest point, integrated and dominant personality. So this is a testing point, I suppose. What way are you testing? Well, what's your identity? What type of self do you identify? So individualization is just the beginning leading to personality integration, actually. It signifies the emergence of personality field. Preparation for the Christ experience. So, in a way, you have to be a personality before you can have the fully developed Christ experience. It is self-conscious, yes. And the lower sentences, he's only talking about one part of
bet that things were a little bit remote there, because, let's see.
Can you hear me like this? Yes, I guess you can. So I must sound remote, but I'm far away from the microphone.
And now, 5 minutes into it, put the microphone back on. Oh, goodness. Well, anyway, I trust you were hearing what I was saying. There are these testing points, and Leo is the first one. And we have to be that a tested identity, a tested personality before we can build upon that third aspect and have the emergence of the Christ principle. So it's a lower synthesis, at least in one phase of Leo, lower synthesis. Here comes another testing point, the crisis of balance, crisis of equilibrium, the emergence of the sense of self-direction. This is under Saturn, right? Because you can stand back and deliberate. And deliberate under Saturn, weighing and balancing. It is the point of equilibrium between soul and form. You realize you are both, so it really does take some development of the Christ principle to recognize that you have a soul which is balancing the form, and they can balance the form reasonably satisfactorily. If there's only a little bit of soul development, it doesn't balance the form at all. So quite a bit of soul development has to come here when you're on the probationary path, the path of many choices. It signifies the emergence of free choice. Interesting, in the planet of determinism, Saturn, the freedom given here. How interesting, because usually, you know, when Capricorn types who seem to like the deterministic point of view weigh in, it's usually under Saturn. You are compelled, they say. So it signifies the emergence of free choice. Compelled by Vulcan, compelled by Pluto, which rules the underworld into which Capricorn penetrates. I was thinking about Freud and how he really felt that the unconscious mind was compelling us beyond our ability to know. He had a strongly Pluto bias. Scorpio was his ascendant, and he was strongly conditioned by Pluto. I suppose this is a bit of a tangent, but you know, oh well, of tangents, possible illuminations are made. So here's Freud, Sigmund Freud, and let's just see, might be interesting. Scorpio rising, Pluto in Taurus. with Vesta in the sixth house of therapy, Chiron in the house of the mind, and deterministic Saturn up here in Gemini. In any case, he felt that we were compelled by forces beyond our control, and we had to discover these compulsions. But Saturn rigorously holding us into a chain of causality, that's how many Capricorn people explain the lack of free will, is also a planet of free choice. There is a moment of equilibrium. We are intelligent. We can look in both directions. We weight up the values, and we can assign our will to one or the other. It's kind of a Martian impulse, or maybe the scales fall in Saturn. It's some sort of weight. Saturn represents weight. It represents lead. It represents something heavy that can weigh the pan down. So it's as if you put your Saturn, the weight of your Saturn, on one side or the other. So it is the point of equilibrium. It signifies the emergence of free choice. It is the consciousness of duality and the effort to balance the two. And I would say, not only balance the two, but later decide for one of the two. And that will determine motion, because this is a moment of stasis. You're not really going anywhere. You're at a standstill, and you're looking at possible directions you might take. Once the decision is made, you start moving again. Right now, there's only a gentle oscillation between two possibilities. So you put the weight of your Saturn, the weight of your choice, in one pan or the other, and you go forward spiritually or backward into a more material consciousness. So the crisis can be as well, in a way, the crisis can be as well the direction to choose. You're faced with a crisis of choice between spiritual and material possibilities. So there is a kind of tense crisis when you're trying to balance things, but you come to that crossroads when you know you have to choose and place the weight of your will in one way or another. That can be a crisis as well. So I'd like to think of this as well as a crisis of choice about a spiritual or material path. Then, another crisis, Capricorn, the crisis of initiation. This exists in five stages and signifies the emergence of the dominating. There's the word dominant, having to do with the musical fifth and the soul. The emergence of the dominating Christ life. Eventually, extremely dominant as the master, but already dominant in the majority as the third degree initiate, and becoming increasingly powerful in the first and second degree. It means the higher synthesis and the control of the Christ consciousness, which is group consciousness. I guess he always wants to remind us of that. The welfare of the group and the sense of identification with the group is there in all initiates from the third degree and beyond. The soul then has the major stock in the company, as it is sometimes called, that 51% and beyond. So group consciousness then prevails. Why should initiation be a crisis? Well, there are so many obstacles as we attempt to mount through this elevatory Capricorn energy that rules the law of elevation, law of group progress. We're rising here. We're swimming against the stream in a way. So many are the inhibitory factors. And there's that moment of breakthrough. And the crisis of the burning ground, and a kind of willful entry once prepared. And one has to work one's way up to the point of tension where entry into the new can be effected. So no initiation is easy. There are many losses and detachments which occur before an initiation. These are elements of crisis. We're constantly having to choose about whether we will go backwards or not. We may be daunted at the door of initiation. We may go backwards. We have to hold our attention even on the burning ground. The crisis of holding the point of tension necessary to merge with the quality of tension on the other side of the door. Okay, the crisis of initiation. So it involves a turning point, an emergence, crisis, tension, emergence. Action is demanded at every crisis, action is demanded so that there can be an emergence, which is the initiation itself. So five stages and signifies the emergence of the dominating Christ life. There's extreme pressure, compression, willful holding of a position, willful holding of a point of tension, the resistance against the opposing factors, resistance against the alluring, backward magnetizing factors. It is a willful experience and pressured, a willful and pressured experience in which Vulcan is involved almost every time, and Vulcan giving us that power to hold. It means the higher synthesis and the control, I would say, by the Christ consciousness here, control of the Christ consciousness, which is group consciousness. So these are three testing points. Three testing points. Individualization leading to personality integration, the building up of the Christ consciousness and the balancing of it against the integrated personality. So it's a Leo Libra polarity here, and allowing the reversal to occur, allowing judgment to occur, so that we may move forward along the path of spiritual development, and then we come to initiation where all the pressures are applied. We must hold firm according to the type of field we seek to enter, resist all opposition, resist allurement, hold our tension while synchronizing it with that which lies on the further side of the door, and then emerge through resonance, through the door and beyond. So something is demanded at that point of tension on the burning ground. You're either going to go forward or you're going to slide back. You can't stay there forever. It's a crisis demanding a change in configuration. I want to say that every crisis demands a change in configuration. And you are part of the configuration. Okay. So, where are we? Well, we're getting there. There are therefore nine signs through which potencies pour, which are creative in their effect. Yes, they're changing the combinations of things, changing relationships, let's call it that way. They are changing relationships, and which produce changes which are needed in the progress of the soul towards divine expression. But they are not, I suppose, signs of crisis, although in other ways you can call them signs of crisis. Later, I think on page 474, he has quite a number of signs of crisis. Let's jump there just to see that, just to compare it. I think it's 474. I think so. Or 473. Or 4. Let's see. Oh. See figure. No. That's not it. Could I be incorrect? Could be. Pretty sure it's here. Yep. There we are. Seven signs of crisis, some of which are not included here. Interestingly, Libra is not included. Capricorn is, Leo is. But Leo gives a much different picture here. It's about liberation into mastership. Capricorn is initiation as usual. The crisis of balance is not included. So these are the crises of the soul. Maybe they are different, possibly different, from the crisis of the individual in those other three signs. It's so subtle. You know, we look at a word like crisis, we say it's the same, but then we see crises of the soul here, and we'll get to that, versus, I suppose, crises of the evolving individual, which maybe cannot be considered crisis of the soul. So, you know, these are, maybe, let's put this down, that maybe these three testing points or crises of individual aspirants are different from the crises of the soul listed on page 473. Is that correct? 473? Let's see. 472. Okay, 472. So, DK always tells us, he says, read with care, lest you jump to conclusions and conflate things. It's always possible to conflate things which are essentially distinct or subtly distinct. And one must be on the lookout against such bringing together of things which are similar but not identical. So we don't want to force identicality upon things which are only similar but not really identical. Well, getting there. Finding this really fascinating. So these other nine signs through which potencies pour, which are creative in their effect, and which produce changes which are needed in the progress, progressive changes of the soul towards divine expression, the incarnated soul. So progressive changes are produced, but these other nine signs do not provide testing points, as DK here means that term. Now, we'll study later the crises on 472 and perhaps try to decide whether we think they provide testing points or not. So you have also three signs of crisis whereby the point in evolution is determined. How we deal with these crises determines our point in evolution. Can we make of ourselves the successful integrated personality? Can we decide, after balancing many things, can we decide in such a way we are really moving towards the spirit rather than backwards into personal life? Can we actually go forward into initiation, or do we fail the initiation and have to try again? So in this connection, it should be noted that Leo, Libra, Capricorn constitute the triangle of the Father or the will aspect, and they mark points of attainment through crises met and triumphant achievement. You know, kind of wonder why Scorpio is not involved there, because there's certainly a triumphant achievement in Scorpio. But these are three, in a way, masculine signs, although you can look at them from other perspectives. Let's just say the triangle, like he says, of the Father. And Cancer, Virgo, Pisces constitutes the triangle of the mother, or the matter aspect conditioned by intelligent activity. The intelligence of matter. They indicate points of opportunity of an inner kind, where consciousness is concerned, and therefore you have the recognition of mass, individual, and group consciousness, Cancer, mass, Virgo, individual, the individual Christ, and Pisces, certainly group consciousness of a high type, connected with Neptune and Buddha and Jupiter and so forth. Well, friends, I guess, without knowing exactly where I stand, we have done six of these. I'm going to begin actually here, because it's worth, if I continue tonight, I don't know, we'll see. But this is end of Esoteric Astrology 84, Section F, page 266. And we can begin here with Esoteric Astrology 84 or 85. If it's 84, it's going to be Section G. It's going to be seven programs. Maybe too much for the computer to handle. I'm not sure. I always hate to stop when I'm on a roll. But other duties call, and unfortunately a slow internet demands a long time to process these programs. We can see here, this could take a little while, how big the file actually may be. This is the new recordings, and okay, well, it's not telling us how big this file is. It's not telling us anything yet. So, we will call it for the moment. And I'll check my surroundings and see whether I dare go ahead with the seventh hour of this marathon, whether that would actually work. So we're into some very interesting things. How deeply appreciative I am of the opportunity to take this book, word by word, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, see what the associations may be. He puts so much into it. No wonder he said it was his most occult book. Well, Cosmic Fire, you know. Okay, but it's written strictly in terms of energy, and therefore the most occult book. And how easy it is to read over this book over many years, miss this, miss that, not really understand the intricacy of thought he's put into it, and the number of relationships he's indicated, and potential relationships which may be derived by the intuition of the reader. So for now, we'll just let it go. My timing is a little off. And I'm not sure whether I produced here 6 one-hour programs or not. I don't think any less. But some of them may be a little ungainly, like an hour and 5 or 10 minutes and so forth. Okay, so we'll see whether we can go on here or not. And thinking our way through Virgo, a most important, powerful, ancient sign which indicates the way of transformation in our solar system. Important in the last solar system and providing a means of redeeming matter in the present solar system through the infusion of the Christ principle. Okay, we'll see you soon. For now.